We hear the reading of the Word of God this morning from Galatians chapter 2. And we will consider as the text the first part of Galatians 2, verse 20. It seemed to me that it would be good this morning to focus just on that part of the text. If the Lord wills, next time I hope that we have the Lord's Supper, we will consider the rest of that passage. But we read the Word of God from Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for that he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. This morning we focus on these words in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. That is the confession of the Apostle Paul, and that is the confession that the Word of God calls us to make this morning. It is also the confession that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper calls us to make this morning, as by the sacrament we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ in this way, saying this morning, I remember that I am crucified with Christ. This is the answer, this confession is the answer to many questions. It is the answer, first of all, to the question, why does the believer not have to do good works to seek justification before God? Why was it wrong for Peter to ally himself with Jews who said in order to be justified, to be right before God, one must do the good work of being circumcised? Why is it wrong for you and me, and why do you and I never look to our works to be justified? The answer is, I am crucified with Christ. To use the language of verse 17, we do seek justification. We seek justification not in our works, but in Jesus Christ through His crucifixion, His death, His perfect work. Why, here's the next question, are you confident? Despite the fact that you don't have to do any good works to earn your righteousness, why are you confident that you are, before God, perfectly righteous? The answer is, I seek my justification in Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ, and knowing that, I am assured that I am right with the eternal and holy God. But now, in verses 17, 18, 19, and the verse that we consider tonight, verse 20, there is an answer to another question. Why do you as a Christian not live in sin? Why do you as a believer not live as an unbeliever? What is the difference? And is there a difference between an unbeliever lives and the way a believer lives? And the answer is yes, there is a difference. Paul was accused of teaching that there really isn't a difference. Paul was accused of teaching that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ may continue in a life of sin. And Paul is answering that here in verses 17 through 20. And Paul is saying, first of all, understand that if you accuse me of teaching that those who seek their justification in Jesus Christ and not in their own works, if you accuse me of teaching that those people may live lives of sin, disregarding a life of holiness according to the law of God, understand, you're accusing Jesus Christ of being the teacher, the minister of such sinful living. And the answer to that, first of all, is God forbid. Don't ever accuse Jesus Christ of being the minister of sin. And then the answer in verses 18 and 19 is that old life of sin is destroyed. That old life of sin is gone. I'm not going to, now seeking my justification in Jesus Christ, seek to rebuild that destroyed life. And I am dead to the law and to the curse of the law now. But if you want to answer the question very briefly, why do you as a believer not continue in sin? Why do you live a life guided by the holy commandments of God? The answer is, I am crucified with Christ. That makes a huge difference. All the difference. If you're crucified with Christ, then you know that your good works do not earn your righteousness before God. If you are crucified with Christ, then you know that you are surely righteous with God through Jesus Christ. And if you are crucified with Christ, you cannot continue in the death of a life of sin, but must live a life of holiness unto God. You and I need to understand this truth and keep repeating this truth to ourselves. I am crucified with Christ. Let's consider that this morning. Crucified with Christ, the fact, and then the result. Salvation in Christ has to do with partaking of His death and life. In verse 20, and we're not considering the whole of the verse, but in verse 20, the Apostle Paul teaches us this plainly. If you are a partaker of salvation in Jesus Christ, you have to partake of both His death and His life. His death is not all that there is. Praise God that we partake of His life as well. But there is a logical order here. The Apostle Paul is putting Jesus Christ's crucifixion and death first. If you will partake, if you do partake of Jesus Christ's life, then you must, first of all, die with Jesus Christ. This is what Paul speaks of in these amazing words that we consider this morning. I am crucified with Christ. More literally, in order to emphasize that this is a past reality, the text could be translated, I have been crucified with Christ. And the apostle needs to be taken exactly at his word this morning. The apostle does not mean merely this. I am a partaker of the benefits of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's certainly true. Jesus died on the cross, and the result of Jesus' death on the cross is the forgiveness of sins, eternal life before God. I am a member of God's family and His covenant because of Jesus' death on the cross. That's not all that the apostle is talking about when he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nor is the apostle only saying this. When I was regenerated, and the moment that I was given faith to know Jesus Christ as my Savior, that's when I became a partaker of Christ's death. No, if we are to take the apostle at his word this morning, I have been crucified with Christ, then we need to understand he means this. When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, I was crucified there with Him. When the nails were pounded through the hands of Jesus Christ, those nails were pounded through me. When the nails were pounded through Jesus' feet, those nails were pounded through me. I have been crucified with Jesus Christ. Amazing and puzzling words. Paul, in his case, when Jesus was crucified, was not a believer. He knew about Jesus Christ, but he did not believe in Jesus Christ. He rejected Him. He hated Him. He wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And yet, now as a believer, he can say, when Jesus Christ was crucified, I have been crucified with Him. And then in our case, again, this is somewhat puzzling, maybe even more so. We weren't born yet. How can it be said that when the nails went through Christ's hand, they went through our hands? And when they went through His feet, they went through our feet. That is what the apostle is saying. He's making a personal confession. But remember, when you go back to verse 17, and he speaks about those who seek justification by Christ, he uses the plural we. While we seek to be justified by Christ, so that his personal confession represents the confession of everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, we have been crucified with Christ. When he was nailed to the cross, we were nailed to the cross. Now, how can that be said? The apostle is making an amazing confession about what is called legal headship. He's making a confession of the legal headship of the Lord Jesus Christ over His elect sheep, His church. This has to do with the covenant of God. That glorious covenant of God that is defined as His relationship of friendship, first of all within the Godhead, but that relationship of friendship that God establishes with His people. And in that covenant, there is a legal head. A legal representative who stands as the one who is above all of the people of God. And he represents all of the people of God. And this goes back to eternity, to the eternal decree of God, where God appointed this mediator. That's one way that we can refer to Jesus Christ in the covenant. But we can also say God appointed him as the head of the body. God decreed that there would be a covenant that he would establish with the man, Jesus Christ. And then this is the way it works. I'm going to be his friend. And he's going to be my friend in the covenant. And then through him, through Jesus Christ, I will be the friend of all my people. And so the relationship is this. There's going to be a legal relationship between Christ and the elect sheep of God, so that when God establishes his covenant with Jesus Christ, he's establishing it with all the people he represents and is the head of. This is the mystery. The Bible puts it this way. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. And so close is that legal relationship between Christ and His people that God looks at it this way. Whatever Christ is, that's who we are. Whatever Christ does, that's what we have done. So the apostle is saying, because God appointed Jesus Christ to be my head and representative, God viewed it this way when Jesus died on the cross. Paul was there in Jesus Christ, his legal head. And then, because Paul is making a confession that represents the confession of every believer, then every believer may say that. When Christ was there, those were my hands, because Christ's hands are my hands that were nailed to the cross. And those were my feet, because Christ's feet, as he represents me, are my feet that were nailed to the cross. And then this too, and this is most important. When my head, Jesus Christ, suffered the eternal killing wrath of God as punishment for sin, Paul was there, and you and I were there, legally represented by our head, so that when he experienced in his soul the anguish of hell for your and my sins, that was you and me in Jesus Christ, paying for our sins. Does that sound bold? Maybe too bold to say In Christ, I died for my sins. I was crucified with Him. The Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 23 says, this is the legal relationship between us and Christ, that God grants and imputes to us the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. Now that term, imputation, is a legal term. God knows full well that you and I did not personally hang on the cross or suffer the agony of hell, but God imputes that to us, looks at us legally in Jesus Christ as if we were there with Him, making that satisfaction, that payment for sin. And then the Catechism explains further, it is as if I, and now let me make that plural, it is as if we never had nor committed any sin, and it is as if we accomplished all the obedience Christ accomplished for us. Because Christ is Paul's head, and because He is the head of every believer may say, because I am Christ, I know that God views it this way. I was crucified with Christ, and I in Christ died and paid for sin. You see the beauty of that, don't you? The result is this. God found a way. God made a way, that would be a better way to put it, for you and I to pay for our sins in Jesus Christ in such a way that we did not have to feel the pain, the agony, that the punishment for sin required. God found a way to crucify us in Jesus Christ in such a way that we didn't have to feel the pain of the nail holes or of the wrath of God in hell. We were not there personally, and yet God legally made a way for us to be there in Jesus Christ. The result is the end of our guilt. The result is the end of the punishment that we deserve for sin, all taken care of by Jesus Christ, who legally represented us. But the apostle would have us to understand that there's another end that this death brings. When we speak of death, that's what we often think of, isn't it? An end. That's the sad reality of death. Death is always an end. That's the sad reality of physical death that we have experienced many times as a congregation in this past year. And it seems like increasingly, especially since the COVID restrictions have come. There's an end to our earthly relationship with our brothers and sisters who have died. And then this is part of what makes us tremble as we think of eternal death in hell. When the reprobate descend to the death of hell, that will be their end eternally. What a fearful thing. But here is an instance where death is referred to as an end in a good sense. Not because death itself is good, but because God is good, and because the apostle is showing us here that God is far above death, and that our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent to be His representative in this world, is the destroyer of death, the conqueror of death. He has so destroyed death that He uses it for a good end. The apostle is speaking here of the fact that when you die with Jesus Christ, you have been crucified with Him. And then when you become a partaker of that consciously through regeneration and faith, that is the end of death's reign over you. That is the end of sin's tyrannical power over you. Jesus was crucified not to succumb to death, you understand, but to destroy death and sin. And the I here who says, I have been crucified with Jesus Christ. Remember, the Apostle Paul speaking of the I of a depraved sinner, a natural sinner who had to be put to death because of sin. Paul is saying here, and here's where the representation of the Lord Jesus Christ of us has another significance. The significance is not only that He represents us in earning righteousness for us, but the significance is that He represents us in taking on our sin. That's why Jesus Christ was crucified. Paul is saying here, I was a sinner. When I was a Pharisee and I sought righteousness by keeping the law, I was only sinning. The law was not justifying me. I thought it was. I thought that the law was making me right before God, but the Apostle Paul is saying, now I understand that the law of God was just a finger of accusation against me, accusing me of all of my guilt and condemning me for my sin before God. The apostle understands now this is the only relationship that a sinner apart from Christ can have with the law. All I can do apart from Christ is live this life of sin, totally depraved. So it is with every sinner by nature. When the apostle says, I was crucified, and is speaking of his sinful nature, he's speaking of your and my sinful natures as well. We are by nature totally depraved, condemned before the law of God, and have no hope of salvation of ourselves. But the apostle is saying, I and everyone who is in Jesus Christ have been crucified with Jesus Christ. And that relationship to the law is ended. The law is no longer a law that accuses me and curses me, and I have no longer that relationship to sin, where sin reigns over me and I can only sin. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead to sin. And because I am dead to sin, I am dead to the law. Verse 19 here. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. You see, to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't merely mean, this is important that it does mean this, my sin and guilt have been paid for and are gone. Hell is no longer the punishment I deserve. But to be crucified with Christ means I am not dead in sin anymore. That old natural relationship that I had with sin is broken by my being in Christ and a partaker of His death. Now Paul is going to go on and does go on to explain that being a partaker of the death of Christ, legally, and then of course through regeneration, the work of the Spirit and the gift of faith, means that you become a partaker of His life. And the apostle explains that very beautifully in the rest of the text. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We'll have to save the explanation of those words for another time, but I want you to recognize that's all implied. All implied in the opening words. I am crucified with Christ. Is that not the confession of a living and believing saint? Paul is saying, I now know and am conscious. I am alive. And I now know that my old life was wicked. My old life was nothing but death and misery. That's destroyed by Jesus Christ through His crucifixion on the cross. But notice that the apostle says that He destroyed that life. For if I build again the things which I destroyed. And you know that the apostle Paul repudiated his former life. You know that the apostle Paul confessed his sin. The apostle Paul damned what he did in his former life. He's not going to, now that he believes in Jesus Christ, go back to that life. No. He's alive, knows that the death of Jesus Christ has broken the power of sin over him. And now he's saying, as one crucified by Christ, I know that I have life with God. And that's going to make a difference in the rest of my life. Yes, you're going to see sin. He acknowledges that in verse 17. We're found sinners. People look at the Apostle Paul and his life, they're going to see sin. But they're also going to see a man who's ready to confess that sin. A man who seeks the forgiveness of sins, not through his works, but only through Jesus Christ alone. They're going to find a man who says he believes in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And so, I am crucified with Christ does not simply mean for you and me an end of sin's guilt and death and hell. It does mean that. And praise God, that's what it means. But to be crucified with Christ means not only the end, but a new beginning of life and faith and obedience before God. Through His Word and through the sacrament, may God remind us and renew in us this confession, I am crucified with Christ. Amen. We turn now to the fourth.